we are also adding in more intelligence around the customer cohort performances, right? And the interesting part is that all of the data sometimes is not actionable, which means that it's not that just because you know product A and B work well together that you can do something about it, but we hear from our customers. And for example, you just gave a great idea. I think that's a great playbook. That's a great, you know, recipe that we can, a playbook that we can give out of the box to merchants and see from them, hear from them.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Little Data, the e-commerce data platform for modern direct-to-consumer brands. Little Data has been bringing server-side tracking to Shopify stores since 2017, and their focus has always been on helping brands to get accurate data automatically. Stores like Rothy's and Athletic Brewing use Little Data to capture first-party data and send it to the tools they already use, like Google Analytics, Segment, and Facebook Ads, plus connected data warehouses and reporting dashboards. The first thing merchants notice after installing Little Data is their Google Analytics data is now accurate and 100% complete, from marketing channels through to one-off orders and repeat purchases. Their e-commerce data platform hums in the background of your store, sending waves of information like events, purchases, subscriptions, lifetime value, and more, so you can make data-driven decisions with data that you can 100% completely trust. It's honestly a breath of fresh air for brands who have been working with bad data and confusing analytics, or trying to build segments and lookalike audiences without having the right data to power them. Now, Little Data is a no-code solution, and they now have a 30-day free trial on all of their plans. They also offer free data consultations with their analytics experts. So make sure you check them out today at littledata.io. Well, hey there. My name is Steve Hutt. I'm Senior Merchant Success Manager here at Shopify, and welcome back to the fifth season of E-Commerce Fastlane. Now, I know there's plenty of podcast choices in e-commerce and direct-to-consumer marketing, and just the fact that you're taking time today and listening to the show definitely means the world to me. I know it does for my featured guest. Now, if this is your first time listening, we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. So if you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you likely are, and you're willing to take some action today on what's being taught and shared, you're definitely in the right place. I also highly recommend to get the full value of today's episode that you click through from whatever podcast app you're using, and you can go there and take a look at the show notes. They're at ecommercefastlane.com. You'll find the transcript links and then any the resources that we mentioned today. My guest today is Kasambi Manjita, who's the co-founder and president of a company called Mason. And they're developers of a wildly popular, and I mean it wildly popular. I just actually went into their app listing right now, and there's like almost 600 five-star reviews. So these guys are the real deal. They have an app that's called Mode Magic. Now, many people have heard of them, obviously having almost 600 five-star reviews, but I can guarantee you there's going to be quite a few listening today that have never heard of Mode Magic. And that's why I have her on the show today. One nice thing about Mode Magic that I find quite interesting is that they really are like a no-code kind of store engine. And basically, it really helps a brand to convert shoppers. It increases AOV, does a lot of things about repeat buying. It's really interesting. It's very dynamic, very personalized, and it all happens in real time with their solution. Really cool. And I'd also argue that this is a perfect timing. We're in Q4 right now. BFCM is around the corner. And I believe that if you don't have a solution that you can kind of motivate and move people along that funnel to a conversion, then you need to have a tool like this. So hi, Manjit. Welcome, Kaz, to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thank you so much, Steve. I'm so excited to be here today.
Absolutely. I know we've been bouncing calendars around. It's been like a pretty nutty time being in Q4 right now, and I'm glad we finally could take the intentional space to record this podcast and talk about your company and specifically about the Mode Magic solution, because it's very, very unique in the marketplace. I mentioned at the top of the show, lots of people are taking advantage of it, but I know for a fact many are not. I think it's time to kind of share that opportunity a little wider. So let's talk a little bit first on a high level about the Mason company and the sort of problems that you're solving today for Shopify brands?
Mm-hmm. You know what? Like, one, it is definitely the right time of the year to be discussing this problem, but it's never the wrong time, because when you turn around and look at Amazon and you start comparing your own direct-to-consumer channels, essentially your own app or your own web store, your mobile store or whatever it is, right? Your mm-hmm. own your own channel versus an Amazon. And then you start looking at the numbers and, you know, every 100 people who land on your store might mm-hmm. on a good day end up shopping with you. But if you're on an Amazon, you know what number they're getting, Steve? Like, just a quick guess.
I would say conversion would probably be on Amazon, probably 25% of people are going to convert.
You are like bang on. On a bad day, it could be 12 for any random brand. On a great day like BFCM or Prime Day, for example, there'll be 25 to 30 folks who are actually buying.
Wow.
So imagine that you're leaving 98 people literally mm-hmm. sitting on the table saying that, hey, yes. I don't like this. I just don't like this channel. I'm not going to buy. I'm going to go off to Amazon and, you know, just let them recommend. So there is this big gap in the ecosystem today when it comes to a brand. You know, we say direct to consumer, but direct to consumer is not just about a philosophy or a way of how you run your brand. In the end, it's about, is your own channel the most profitable channel for you? And today, for most brands, 99% of the retail world, it's not. You're really paying a lot of taxes, the Amazon tax on Amazon or mm-hmm. any other channel. You're paying a ton of $30 to every $100 or 35 cents to every $1 is what you're literally paying on different channels. Whereas in your own channel, in your own store, you could go down to as low as just 10 cents per a dollar, right? And you're leaving that money on the table. So that's the problem that me and my co-founder and our team, we're super motivated by. We think the reason there's this gap, one, of course, is, you know, how much of knowledge you have about, you know, running great businesses and all that. All that aside, the core problem is that we just don't have the right infrastructure. We don't have the right technology to do that today.
And it's interesting, though, because when I take a look at the app itself, like, I find that there's a lot of great themes. I know a lot of brands have kind of migrated over to Online Store 2.0, which is kind of the newer framework for Shopify. Some folks have even gone down the headless road. I know there's Hydrogen and Oxygen being developed right now, currently, and a few live sites right now, you know, on that kind of side of Shopify. But it's just so interesting to me that a lot of people, I believe, are under some misconceptions that they think that themes themselves really can help move a customer along in the discovery funnel, because you said only 2% are converting.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. You know, so like 98, 96% of the people are just poof gone. You know, let's call it even on a high level. Let's say that you have a known customer of 10% of the people that come to your site are known. 2 to 3% are going to convert. The other 7% are just going to opt into something for some kind of future opportunity. There's still a significant amount of like unknown site visitor information that's floating all around. It's really frustrating for brands, however they're getting traffic. One thing I notice is that with themes today, as much as they have some elements to it that could maybe help or recommend certain things, they really aren't using any kind of machine learning or any AI. And there's no like baked in technology around, you know, what's being shown on the screen and anticipating what the next click could be or the next conversion could be. And I think what kind of comes up with your solution is that you're really motivating site visitors, like the brands can implement your solution and you're motivating a site visitor to really almost not lose a customer, so to speak, from badges to, I don't want to give away the secret sauce again, what you guys are doing, but can you talk about some of the things specifically about inside Mode Magic that's very unique outside of maybe what's available core just in a basic theme today?
Yeah, so bang on. I couldn't have said it better. I would probably turn that question back on you, Steve. You're answering it amazing, but I'll try to match up to that. But super correct, right? Like, let me compare it to a regular brick and mortar. And it's so much easier for us sometimes when we compare it to the physical world is that, hey, if you are setting up your store, when you're using a theme, it's like it's the layout of your store. So when you walk into, you know, an Abercrombie & Fitch or whatever else, or, you know, that Crate & Barrel, what you're doing is that the layout of the store is essentially your theme builders or your themes, right? Like, it has, hey, on the left, there's going to be a few shelves. And on the right, you know, there's going to be like an aisle where, you know, I'm going to probably put mannequins on or blah, 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 right? So that layout is what people get access to. But the layout's like, it's just one part of the problem. how do you showcase your t-shirts? How do you showcase your jeans? Where do you stack them up? Do you color code it? Do you display it in a certain way? Where do you keep men's? Where do you show your bestsellers? Where do you keep your on-sale products? Where are the new arrivals? And how's the display of a new arrival going to be different from, you know, last sale, right? Mm-hmm. So these are decisions that are made every single day, because every time you walk into a store, it's not going to be exactly the same. Maybe some part of the layout is going to be the same, but all these micro decisions, right, is what mm-hmm. drives you to be so excited the minute you land in, you know, you walk into a IKEA tomorrow and you are like, yeah, these are the fun new things that are happening. And I'm excited and I want to go shop, right? So these constructs are merchandising and sales and promotions, literally, right? Like these are the two ways that any store drives people to get excited and to make a decision to buy. Now, what happens is that in the online world, even people who run great retail tend to forget that it's not just your website, it's a store, right? So you still got to do your merchandising, your sales and promotion. You still got to excite, engage, and get people to buy. So what's missing when you are thinking of using a theme builder or just a theme or, you know, some mobile app builder and you just have a store, what you're missing out is that that's the first part of the problem, is that do you have a store or not? Yes or no.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
But every day you got to make sure that your products are looking good. They display the right information for the right segment of customers, right? New customers want to know different things than returning customers, right? They shop differently. Maybe returning visitors need more bundles. Maybe new visitors need more social proof, right? Mm-hmm. Similarly, when you're running sales and promotions, which category of sales and promotions do you want to run? Is this the right time for, maybe back to school is the right time for buy one, get X off, right? Whereas when you're looking at BFCM, that's usually great for like flat X percent off because, you know, people are looking for good deals and deals are everywhere. So you've got to stand out. So, or giving a pre-BFCM sneak lightning deal might be the interesting thing to do. Mm-hmm. So all these decisions are your everyday merchandising and sales and promotions strategies that you consistently have to run to make your business operate like a real, real retail business online. And today we kind of stop at step one and we tend to think that if we just display the products, just hang them there on the shelf, and never touch them, let them just like get dust and rusty over there. People are going to buy it. That's not going to happen, right? So that's the gap that we totally see. And we, in Mode Magic, what you get is access to these complex things like data-driven merchandising, personalized sales, and, you know, dynamic discounts. And we make it super simple. And we give you all the strategies as like playbooks and recipes. And you can just browse and, if you're a fashion team, we have recommendations on what you should do. If you're toys and baby care, we have recommendations on what you can do. And so you have a great place to get actually running a live and real store.
I have a real world case study that I want to ask you right now. I spoke to a brand this morning and one of their comments was, is there a way to be able to understand the seasonality of my products, and can I somehow update the collection order or what's being shown on page based on seasonality?
Absolutely.
And so can you talk a little bit about that? I'll make sure I share this episode with them, but I think that's a very interesting opportunity where sometimes people have different merchandising rules. Yeah. And you know, I think there's engines around that. Some people do a very manual sort order and they're moving things around. They purposely want these things side by side, but sometimes you want to have a data-driven decision about what's going where and why. And then does seasonality play in about availability? Does that play into this kind of a collection displaying? I just would love your feedback and kind of how you can handle these sorts of use cases.
Absolutely. And I think there are two parts to that answer. Part one is that absolutely, these are data-driven decisions. And honestly speaking, Steve, it's not that you don't need data even when people do it manually. They're relying on intuitive data. So they have seen that data in some form or the other. And they have a gut feel, right? That's what's going to work. And so they do that manually because they just don't, they know their gut. They just can't explain how that's happening. Even with great data-driven merchandising, the question there is that, do you have the levers to make edits to whatever is being shown to you? Like, for example, when Mode Magic tells you that, hey, these are your bestsellers in this order, right? Do you have the ability to say that, hey, I don't want to show this product in my bestsellers because that always, like, I just don't want it to run out. and I'm going to promote it as a special feature. You should have the ability and the flexibility to do that, right? Or if Codemagic's showing up, you know, a bunch of products for like clearance, like they are all going to get expired. And so why don't you clear them on a 30% discount sale? You should have the ability to say that, hey, I don't want to run 30% discount of flash sale. I want to kind of only make it gated to my, you know, most engaged recurring users. Absolutely. You know, one part of it is that they should run that. Totally makes sense to me when you think about using order data, right? Over time, order and browse data over time to understand as a brand, it's not like you're an Amazon. You don't have like 2 million products in your catalog, right? You have a limited set of products in your catalog. And I'm pretty sure that for some products, there is going to be e-commerce is seasonal in nature. At different parts of the year, different kinds of products make more sense. Buying pattern of products changes, right? And we were just talking about back to school versus BFC. So yeah, you know, like different parts of the year. So this is something that totally makes sense to me, that using their order or browse data to actually reorder, right? The kind of connections that they're building and show the relevant products or the highest probably selling products for a certain geography or a certain segment or a certain time frame at the right time up ahead versus the rest should just be like, you know, somewhere below in that list, right? In that list order, rank order. That totally makes sense to me. Something that they should definitely try. In fact, if they're listening, you know, just ping me, happy to get that sorted out for you. But the second part of it is also, you know what? You should have the ability to experiment too. Maybe this gut feel of yours is right for a certain segment, but not right, let's say, for new users. Because new users maybe don't know about what products you're selling, and maybe there's no seasonality there. Maybe it's more social proof there versus for recurring users, there's seasonality. So you should be able to target it, right? And test it.
Right.
Have the data at your fingertips, right? So that's the second part that we help with. And I think, like, forget about whether we at Codemagic or Mason help people with data, but overall in this industry, there's so much of like data, even though we talk about it a lot, it's such a black box, isn't it? It's like, there's data somewhere.
Super hard.
I mean, a bunch of us are not data scientists. We know about the products. We know about our customers. But, you know, data just feels like this different beast. But our goal is consistently, I think even as other product builders in retail, we should always strive to make data super simple and make it accessible. So that's another thing that's important is that why don't you also test it to different segments, different times of the year and see the patterns out there.
That's lovely. I'm going to pivot a bit to another elephant in the room that I think about a lot. I think as a motivator is the cost of shipping. I have a funny suspicion that, and I'm a consumer too, obviously, and that's one of the first things I look at. Is there a free shipping threshold? I mean, that's one of the reasons why Amazon does so well, especially when you're a Prime customer where you can just buy anything anytime. It's always free shipping. So we're kind of trained now to know that that's kind of what a reality is or what the standard is. And so that can't always be the case on a D2C brand, but I just would love your mindset around the Codemagic product as it relates to shipping as a motivator and how you're giving people like some technology to help them experiment about, you know, the certain types of when should be free shipping or what about free returns? Or I want to understand what, how you motivate someone on page, because I know the theme is not going to do that for you. You're forced to have to do something manual yourself and it can get quite technical. And there's other apps doing very unique things. Yours does a lot of things to help with conversion lift. I just want to talk specifically on the shipping side of it, both on the PDP page potentially, and then what happens as we proceed to cart and go down that funnel of adding to cart and proceeding to checkout. What is Codemagic available to the merchant, and then what does the end consumer actually get to see to motivate them to want to purchase?
Yeah, that's a great question, especially, you know, during these high sales seasons. It's like shipping times go crazy and people want really like good insights on how we, you and I buy is when is it going to get shipped? Is it going to get shipped on time? If I'm gifting it to someone, is it something that I really have to spend a lot of, you know, my bandwidth on just following and tracking and making sure it's reached the right person? So what we've seen and, you know, these last 2 years of working with a lot of merchants is that shipping is a kind of information that definitely is, as consumers and buyers, we want to know throughout the year. But more importantly, in high sale seasons and during holiday seasons, it becomes even more important. So if that's something that you haven't deployed as a strategy, as an important strategy, not just as this one thing, one banner that you just dump there and you forget about it, but actually you're using it as a lever to get your customers and shoppers, potential shoppers, to engage better with you and to convert better. And again, I would say that there again, it's about the cohort of customers. It's about the part of the funnel, right? And for a lot of first-time users, et cetera, it's about, again, trust and transparency and all of that, right? So are you able to indicate when people are browsing through products or in PDPs, adding products to the cart and getting super excited about the bundles that you're displaying? And they're checking like their zip code, like does it ship to my location, et cetera? Are you being upfront and transparent and unfolding the information about the potential shipping time and shipping dates right there, right? So that's super important. For recurring users, it's also about if they are already logged into your store, do you upfront show up some of this information? Because they don't want to be like, they've shopped with you so many times before. And I see that as a consistent problem across brands is that we know these users, we just don't use that information enough to help you buy better versus just using that information to dump another offer on you, right? When you least want it. So, but like personalization is also about, and better merchandising and personalized merchandising is also about understanding that, hey, this team, I know this person, he shops so many times and I got to ship it to his location most likely. Then why don't I upfront show some of this information, et cetera, right?
Right.
Another element of shipping is also, by when can I get free shipping? Like, am I a dollar away? Am I $50 away?
Right. Yes.
Imagine going kind of like out to your checkout and then seeing that you're not eligible for free shipping. That's really painful and huge drop off points. So consistently showing that in the buy funnel, not the browse funnel, of course, but in your buy part of the funnel, that actually covers everything from P2P till the person's actually bought, till the order confirmation page, I would say, right? So consistently, almost like gamifying that, right? And using that as a lever to unfold the right information. And finally, this was, again, this is a topic that deserves its own podcast, I think, but I could go on and on. I'm going to hold myself back, but and kind of pause with this interesting thought that there was a CRO expert speaking with us on one of our webinars sometime back. And he mentioned this super interesting use case is that, you know, sometimes unfolding, and that's why I said unfold the information and even say display the information for a reason, because sometimes when people are browsing, they still aren't hooked into your products or your deals or your offers that much, right? They're still taking time to decide. So if you're upfront showing 30-day shipping, 50-day shipping, or shipping ships to you by Jan, you're freaking them out and you're pushing them away and you're forcing them to kind of jump out before they've even made up their mind about the product. So there are times when you gotta hold that information back and make it a bit more accessible when they need that information, right? A shipping date is most likely not going to be a big decision maker. When you are sort of in the homepage of a new brand, you're a new user, you're more curious about what are the products people are buying? What are the discounts during BFCM? You know, do people buy and love this brand, right? Those are the questions in my mind. And so maybe just throwing me off with a very late shipping date might just be the wrong strategy at that point in time.
Today's episode is brought to you by Little Data, the e-commerce data platform for modern direct-to-consumer brands. Little Data makes it easy to get accurate sales, marketing, and customer data in the tools you already use, like Google Analytics and the new GA4. But doesn't stop there. They also power audience building and better retargeting with LTV data and subscription integrations like Recharge and Smarter. See how other brands are crushing it by using Little Data and get yourself a free trial 30 days by visiting littledata.io. Another, I guess, conversation topic that comes up too, and I bring up quite a bit, is about maybe bundling, or I would talk about maybe the post-purchase experience a bit, if it's upsells or cross-sells that can happen. And then even more advanced would be like the post-purchase upsell, meaning, you know, you buy one thing and then you get the next one for 50 off after you've already placed the order and you already have the order session there and the authorization key is already ready to roll, so you can add right onto it. Just would love your insights a bit about Mode Magic as it relates to that, about the experience of increasing the average order value. What's your mindset around that? And how are we motivating people to find complementary products to build their basket size larger? And then are we giving people options from within cart to be able to add on to something, or, hey, this goes well with this, and continue on in their journey when they've already added one item to the cart?
Yeah, and that's such an important part of, especially going back to the core problem plaguing retail today, is that how do you make sure your ROAS and your CRV is, like, you know, top notch, right? And that's not going away anywhere. You know, privacy and cookie-less, it's going to continue to get more and more expensive to drive anybody to your store. So this is super important, and it's a problem very close to us. We weren't helping with upsells and cross-sells till some months back, but we heard from our, we try to work very closely with our customers, and we love hearing from them, and what's the number one thing that you'd like us to solve for? And I think this was literally the number one thing. And more importantly, I agree with you, it is. And the interesting thing over there was that, you know, there again, the philosophy of, do we as a product, as a company, as Mason and Moat Magic, do we give people the ability to also edit the recommendations that we make for you using your orders, using your browse data, right? So things like frequently bought together, things like combos or bundles, and specific to industry too. Like if you are a fashion and accessories and fashion and apparel, you're most likely talking about look. You got to talk about it. You can't just sit
for sure,
right? Yeah. And if you are talking about a beauty, and you have to talk about regimes, right? Like, so we try to, one, through the product, through app, want to help you with understanding what is the language that you should be speaking, what is the strategy you should be taking in bundling, right? Depending on your industry. So that's super crucial. A lot of times teams, even at 10 million in revenue, kind of just call it like buy one, get X free, or just like dump a bundle over there. And you know what, like, let's tune it a little bit to your industry so that it fits with the right mental model of how a shopper shops with you. And it also, by the way, makes you look and sound more credible as a brand, right? So that's one. The second thing is that, is it data driven or not, right? Like, because yes, you definitely got a gut feel on what you think people buy together. You've seen like your last 20 orders and formed a judgment. But you know what? When the data looks at your orders over time and helps you understand what kind of bundles are really being bought together, sometimes you learn a lot too, right? Mm-hmm. As a brand owner and as a D2C e-commerce manager. So it's super important for us to also bring, you know, the real data back to you to show you these are your slow movers, but some of these slow movers bundle well with these bestsellers, right? And these bundles really can help you essentially clean up your inventory too. So, and helping you understand these sort of strategies and from your data and simplifying that information so that it's easy for you to understand it. And the third part of what we do is, of course, giving you ability to edit. So sometimes you still don't want a certain product to be bundled again with certain product, even if your data shows that, because you probably have lesser inventory or you're not going to repeat that product in future. But there may be many reasons for the business that you don't want certain things to be just purely based on data. You want to merchandise and you want your own intelligence and your own industry knowledge to step in. We give you ability to do that. And more importantly, we give you ability to do all of these across your funnel, making sure that it's, we give you ability to do all of that across the funnel, right? So it's not just one part of your funnel, you know, just in your cart or just in your checkout or whatever, but actually ensuring that this is something, for example, can we resurface a lot of this cross-sell, upsell if it's a logged-in user who's coming back for the third time, for example, right? So we want to make sure that this sort of upsells, cross-sell strategies are also available across the funnel.
Yeah, I love that part. And I was thinking too about, and what happens quite a bit is about the product journey a bit is interesting too. And I know that Moat Magic kind of is puts that into check, understanding what the relationships are between potentially a first order and what people are buying maybe on their second order or third order. And it's nice to be able to talk and have data to back it up and saying that, wow, you're looking at this right now. That's interesting. You know, people that buy this typically have bought this and this, because we have our own in-house data. Your first-party data is showing that. And so even though they haven't made, you know, product number one order yet, the brand already knows that if they do buy that, in all likelihood, statistically, you probably are going to buy this item and then probably this item, because that's what others have already done. And so imagine being able to merchandise your store when people are looking at item number one, but then you're also showing with data backing it up on the back end of the brand is saying, no, second and third order are usually these items too. Let's also show those to make sure they understand, as you call it, shop the look or the whole regime if it's a skincare or beauty brand and stuff like that. So we'd love your feedback on that.
This is actually a great playbook that you just gave us an idea to implement. We do share this data back. By the way, all this data is meaningless, as we were talking about. If it's something that you got to go digging into, literally all this information on this pulse of how your products pair with each other, what's working, what's not, how's your store performing, all of that literally goes into each user of Mode Magic every single day. This is like data that they can just very easily take a look at, understand their store performance, their product performance. And we are also adding in more intelligence around their customer cohort performances, right? And the interesting part is that all of the data sometimes is not actionable, which means that it's not that just because product A and B work well together, first and second order, that you can do something about it. But we hear from our customers. And for example, you just gave a great idea. I think that's a great playbook. That's a great playbook that we can give out of the box to merchants and see from them, hear from them whether it's working or not, and then recommend it to more merchants. So we are always looking for more. We make sure all the data is accessible, but we have as much of different industry playbooks that work across, the 50,000 merchants we've worked so far, but we keep updating that. So it's not like, here's a set of, 100 playbooks and that's it. This is like a always evolving, always growing set of, learnings. The more we learn, conversations like with you, folks who work so much in e-commerce, when we hear and we learn things from them, and the beauty is that we can expose it as literally like this one-click playbook that you can implement and try and see if it works for you.
Well, I'm glad that I sparked a little bit of a potential roadmap, because I think it's called RFM, I think is the official name, this recency frequency monetization. So in this first party data is in Shopify. It's very clear all the product associations with each other. And so great. I'm glad to see that could be an opportunity, a next iteration.
Absolutely.
I want to pivot to a story if I can, because I think a lot of us are, me included, I'm very motivated when I hear about what another brand is doing. And hopefully I don't put you on the spot here, but it'd be great to understand a Mode Magic customer and kind of what was their life like with their brand kind of pre-Mode Magic. And then they implemented it and ran a few kind of experiments with some of the tools that are built into the application. And then kind of what came out on the other end, like what was the final results, and do they continue being happy customers, and just the raving testimonial. Just curious to see if anything you can share today.
That's one of the brands actually that comes to my mind. Again, I love browsing through Instagram, and I used to follow this brand called Public Desire. New and upcoming brand, fashion, fast fashion, targeted at young women. Really, some of their stuff is like super flashy, super awesome, looks great on Instagram. And one fine day, I hear from someone in the team that, hey, Public Desire's XYZ. And I was like, wait, did we just say Public Desire? So it was a pretty great moment for me. When you're following a new brand on Instagram and you hear that they've been using or speaking to our team for a while. One of their, e-commerce managers, actually, her name was, Carrie. She had reached out to my team, and she was talking about, hey, again, Public Desire, just to give a quick little context, fashion and accessories, before we dive into the story, Public Desire, fashion, fast fashion, I think about 100 to 150 million GMV already running across multiple different stores, online stores, which are very geocentric. So they have a UK online store, they have a US online store. They have a European store, which is like targeted at, I think, Spain and France and so on and so forth. So super cool, growing fast, a small team, lean team, really want to run with it and do things fast, right? That was their whole goal, that we want to grow, we want to continue to grow super fast, but we want to do that quickly and on our own terms. We don't want to be like, you know, working with 50 different vendor partners and some 100 developers offshore and then try to get things out live. So
right.
When they reached out to us, as we spoke to more people in the team, what we understood was that their core problem was that, hey, just what we discussed about an offline versus an online store, that was their core problem, that we are an online store, but the speed at which we can experiment and merchandise and run sales and promotions in our physical stores, we are stuck with having to wait and find and work with vendor partners or developers out there somewhere in India, somewhere in Croatia, and we have to work with them. We have to wait for them, manage across time zones to get simple messaging, simple merchandising decisions, simple discounts out live, either on one or multiple of our online stores, right? So as a marketing team, we are so, I think, two-member marketing team, right?
Yeah.
We're managing our online channels to drive traffic, and we're managing our own channel to show the right promos and the right products to the right set of customers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are swamped today. So we need a product in which we, as the marketing team, are able to display, take decision on the right promos and sales that we want to run across our channels, display that information across our site, across different parts of our store funnel too, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, discounts and messaging, we can change that as we need to. We can experiment with different kinds of promos for different segments and cohorts of our customers. We want to run different promos on different geos too, right? And we are unable to do that today because without involving a designer or a developer in the loop. And that was pretty much their number one problem. And they, of course, the second part of it was also that, hey, can we do a bit of that, hands off? Like if you've taken a decision to, let's say, run a sale between, 15th to 18th, can we just schedule the sale, and then at the end of it, it sort of cleans up our store and takes the promos down on its own without us having to
right.
do that.
Yeah.
So can we have like some kind of, is it possible to do something like that? One, without having a designer or developer to run our different promos and merchandising decisions. Yeah. And second, can we just like do that hands-free? So that's where, they started with running their bestsellers and their sale promotions automated through Mode Magic. Today, a bunch of their promos that you see on their different stores or their special seasonal sales that they are running, many of them are actually automated and scheduled with Mode Magic. So for example, if they have set, a 30%, like if they're in their product catalog, if they have, set their product prices down by some value, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they don't, how do we calculate everything and make sure it's all like showing the right percentage off? And I want to make sure that it's only shown when people land up on the PDP. But for collection heels, I also want to show it on the homepage. So all these like little nuances of, calculating the discount right, making sure it's looking, it's also showing up in my design, right? So if I'm creating a banner, I have a little patch of a badge or an overlay. I don't want design to like calculate the discount and actually put 30 and 15 and all of that, right, for each product.
Yeah,
can that be automated? So stuff like that, that's actually being run through Mode Magic. And we started out with one store, with the UK store, but now they've started using it across their different online stores.
That's lovely. I'm actually looking right now at us.publicdesire.com, and I can see some of Mode Magic running in real time. A couple of things that are of note about in stock, only two left is interesting. So looking up the inventory levels, which I think is cool. I also see six people are looking at this item right now. So it adds a little bit of urgency. I think that's very interesting. And this must be dynamic based on sessions and stuff. So I think it's very interesting. You also may like, is very interesting under the PDP, on the main PDP page, and it's actually showing five other products that there is some association between what you're currently looking at and what something else. So it kind of keeps people sticky on the site. And because this is a large catalog and I'm looking at boots right now, for example, and you just want to kind of keep going through them, you know, at least a machine is kind of helping merchandise the store accordingly. And I think that's really interesting. And then obviously styled by you or things I've added to the cart myself or looked at, there's a nice little section styled by you. So you kind of have a running total of all the things, and not to mention a recently viewed section too, which is quite nice too. So it's dynamic with a scroller on the bottom. So it seems like a lot of the pieces of the puzzle are kind of interesting here. It's almost like when you go into a retail store and then you're looking at one piece and then, you know, the salesperson comes over and takes it and kind of hangs on a rack for you or clips it outside your door of where you're going to try things on. And at least they're all there. And meanwhile, you got eight things to try on and you're probably going to buy something. And this is kind of what's happening here. Instead of maybe adding to cart, you have a really neat little solution out of kind of the recently viewed, which is fairly standard on a lot of themes, but styled by you. And then you also may like is obviously very data driven. I love this.
Absolutely. And there's so much more that you can do. Some of the looks auto created with, again, understanding the orders. So in this case, of course, for things like boots and shoes, that's a little difficult. But for fashion and accessories and fashion and apparels, typically, which are multi-category in nature, you see a lot of these order the cart themselves being multi-category. And so you actually get to understand that is typically how people are styling themselves, right? And so using that intelligence, which is right there at your fingertips, it's every day people are buying from you. You have so much intelligence in your store. And can you use that to just, you know, market back to your own customers, right? So every day that you're learning, new customers are coming in your store. It's not just about them buying, but even when they're browsing and they're adding stuff to their cart and removing it from their cart and searching for things and then, you know, not clicking on anything or clicking on things that are there in your search results, they're indicating what's making sense to them. And they're giving you tidbits on how a real deep knowledge of how they're thinking of buying from you. So can you constantly use all of that to just make your store do and market back to new customers who come and to your store? I think, and that's such an untapped, lot of untapped rich data, right, lying with you every day. And being able to use it is nothing like that.
I'm going to add one more thing before I pivot to another question for you. But I've also noticed when I added something to cart on Public Desire, what I found interesting. So I have two items in my cart. I love the pop-up of the fact I've just added on this particular stiletto. And then it shows me three other items people also bought, boom, 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 and the deals on them. I guess I can click through to the product details page on these. Or there's a no thanks kind of label. If I click the no thanks, that's fine. That modal just goes down and now I'm in the cart and I can kind of proceed to checkout and go down that journey. But at least there was some kind of data-driven decision saying, hey, you've added this to cart. Okay. Just so you know, these are interesting also from what we understand. Click and you might want to learn more or no planks, just continue on with your checkout flow. And I think that was really well executed. I think a lot of brands are not doing that. They literally are allowing people to add to cart and they may have something going on in the cart itself through an Ajax kind of cart slide out, whatever they're doing, trying to motivate people to have like extra buy now buttons in the slide out cart. But this is kind of more in your face, like meaning you add it and boom, it comes up in the middle and says, hey, just so you know, thanks for adding this. But there's these three other items that might be of interest to you. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really compelling.
Yeah. And there's so much more that you can do. And as a brand, of course, you take decisions on what more you want to experiment with or don't want to experiment with. But in this case, for example, I think there could be great add-ons on, for certain segments of users, you might maybe dropping an offer actually works, something that's very timed. Right?
Yes.
It might really work out. And if you also show those other things that might it's not just based on just data from other sessions, but if that user, if Steve was browsing certain other products, and then you can show them here as saying and giving him validation that, you know what, other people looked at them too, and they ended up buying it. And here's a deal for you. That's just like, you know, for the next 10 minutes or something. Yeah. These are so many little, you know, additions that you can do to the same strategy and see what works for you as a brand, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the flexibility there. So We are kind of nearing the end of the show for today, but I guess I'd like to understand about maybe the North Star, kind of where you're at today and kind of a call to action for people. So the product is, you know, fully developed. I know there's a public roadmap and things are, you know, you're working along here is improving it and taking customers' feedback, even the RFM modeling I just mentioned, I think is quite interesting for your product. But just like, what's the future of the product? If someone was to kind of decide to, I want to install this and I want to experiment with having a better merchandise store, better data-driven decisions, helping improve my conversion rate, all the perks and benefits that come with Mode Magic. What else is coming maybe next year? What can people expect as a product kind of iterates on itself?
A lot more interactivity. So today, a lot of these experiments that you run and the strategies that you implement on your store and the banners and the widgets and the carousels or these sections that you're adding are more static in nature, but making it more interactive so that you are able to also start getting more one-on-one information and forming a more one-on-one connection with the person on the other side, right? I mean, quizzes, for example, is a great, and there are great products out there that are helping with quizzes, but also there are other interactive elements that actually help you as a buyer, as a shopper to make decisions, right? And which give you a lot more information. Like a simple example, and I'm going to only give this as a sneak peek example, is this or that, right? And you see that game on Instagram or on TikTok a lot, where you're like, do you like this or that? But you could literally, insert something of that sort in the buying journey of your shoppers and actually help not just understand the shopper better, tailor the rest of the workflow and the funnel for them, but more importantly, you understand so much more and the person's invested now as a shopper. And so they're like, hey, they kind of care about whether I like something or not. You can use that intelligence to build better products, launch newer products, so much more. And so a lot more interactive elements and interactivity in your store, almost like how do you gamify the whole shopping experience, and make it way, way more personal because of that. Because as shoppers, when we do something and we think the other party actually cares about knowing us better and we know it's for a good reason, we love that, right?
Yeah, this is great. This is really good. I really massively appreciate the fact that you've come on today. It's really opened my mind. There is so much opportunity. I think there's so much money being left on the table. I just think the customer service side of brands are going, people are going to spend, 5 minutes or so on a website looking for a pair of shoes or whatever kind of product it is, and they're not going to be exposed to what else is available. And I think having the right widgets and the right kind of merchandising and then motivating people to continue down that product journey of adding to cart and proceeding to checkout, all the things you have about just optimizing conversion rates. And just, I love the inventory connection you have, for availability and just the stock details. I think it's quite interesting. And just these live offers that you were talking about, I think it's so interesting. You have a lot of really cool features baked into this platform. So where do you want to send people today? Let's say we all agree that a theme doesn't have all of the power that what you have baked into your solution. And so somebody agrees that, I really want to give Mode Magic a really good spin to see and experiment with it, see how it can help my business. Where do you want to send people and what are kind of the next steps?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, it's going to be BFCM and holiday season.
Absolutely.
I think it was yesterday. And so don't be late to the party. Your store can do so much better. It's your store online. And, if you have taken a decision that I actually want a great store and not just a website online, then we can help you with that. You can, of course, reach out to me or anybody from Team Mason on LinkedIn, on Twitter. Or if you just want to give it a shot and give it a spin, you can find us on the Shopify App Store. Mason on Shopify is called Mode Magic, as Steve was talking about it. And we actually have a special offer for folks who are hearing and listening to us and with us still now. We have a 10% discount on the growth plan, on our growth plan, and a 20% discount on the scale plan for all users who find us through Steam. And, nice. and just give us a buzz, even after you use it, you install it, you want some recommendations and a store audit, and you want like a big, quick list of laundry list of things that you can directly get started with. one of our experts, e-commerce, D2C experts and e-commerce experts in our team. They will jump onto a call with you and help you get set up in within a day.
Well, thank you very much for that offer. I think, you know, those listening today, like I said, if you don't have a kind of personalization engine like this and way to motivate your site visitors to boost your conversion rate and, you know, and your repeat sales and just controlling your merchandising, exactly what all the things that you talked about today, I think this is a great solution to kind of give a whirl and test it out for you. I will have a link on the show notes. It'll be ecommercefastlane.com/Mason. And that's going to redirect to a nice landing page over there, and they'll show you how you can download the app. You can go direct to, if you like, in the Shopify app store, just type in Mode Magic and it'll pop up and you can add that to your store. And there's a small trial that you can kind of get going on it with a free plan, and then you can kind of choose the other options if you choose, I guess, go the growth route or the scale plan. And just, yeah, really appreciate you coming on the show today. This has been really eye-opening for me. I'm always excited. It fascinates me why people build what they build. It's very clear that you and the team are really focused on, you know, wanting to kind of improve efficiencies a lot, like through software and like all the parts, like revenue and lifetime build and lifetime loyalty, all the good things that we want in an e-commerce brand. You know, you're really helping people move the needle a bit along. I just appreciate the fact that you've, you know, taken time to come on the show today and share your opportunity with my audience. And I wish you tremendous success for BFCM and all your merchants. And I'm looking forward to the continued iteration of the product.
Thank you, Steve, for having me. And we hope to be back and share more amazing stories of our customers. And of course, give you a quick update on all new stuff next year.
Beautiful. All right. Well, have yourself a great afternoon. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.